Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. As always, you have me, Diamond Hands D, and no Luke this week.
Yeah, he's on assignment.
On assignment. So, Tony, how's it going, man?
Good, man. Good. Brown's making some money moves.
Oh, yeah.
We have so much guaranteed money wrapped up into our roster. Awesome.
Yeah. They're certainly all in this year. It's got to happen this year.
Something's happening. I think they picked up a good defensive lineman, too. Like, I guess we'll see how everything shakes out, but
I mean, their roster is solid. The quarterback just needs to play.
And then we got Mike Vrabel to.
Oh yeah,
as a consigliere to come in and do whatever. I mean, I don't know. They have a former head coach come in and just be a sounding board, is what it sounds like.
Yep.
We'll see.
Sounds like he was a Browns fan growing up.
Yeah, I mean, he grew up
Akron,
here.
I think. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. All right. Well, today's show. So today's financial planning corner is going to be talking about annuity considerations. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, kind of what you should be thinking about, looking at. Do they make sense? And how we tie them in, if appropriate, into, you know, financial plans. Then we have five quick takes on what's going on in the market right now, because there's so much stuff, but there's nothing. I don't want to say it this way, but there's nothing like huge noise out there. It's kind of the markets just kind of slashing sideways at the present time.
Yep.
So, all right.
At very large valuations.
Very large. Yeah. So maybe the market's just digesting those.
Yep.
So, all right. So when we come to the financial planning corner for this week, we'll take a look at like annuity considerations. And when I say the word annuity, it's a very, I refer to it as more of a polarizing and sensitive word, because as you approach annuities, or I'm sorry, approach retirement, you get bombarded about all the different kinds of annuities. And I would imagine if like you're new and trying to figure it out, it can be a very complicated and stressful and I don't know which way is up kind of situation.
Like, oh, yeah.
There's so many of them, right? And there's so many people talking about them. So I think we'll just kind of start by saying for advisors that use them or don't use them, there's this big love-hate relationship. I think a lot of advisors, they either use them or they don't.
Yep.
They either like them or they don't. They have a view. And I think a lot of there's a lot of bad actors out there, because I feel like they're misused. They're some of the best ones for the situation. For people that if I meet with somebody for the first time and they walk in, they have an annuity. I love to know, like, you know, why this one? What does it do? How did you pick the amount that went in there? And typically the people scratch their head and be like, I don't know. I was just told to do this.
Yep.
And that's not a good answer. Right. So, the bad actors might misuse the type of annuity, and sometimes it's not always a fit. I've seen when you start approaching over 50% of your money going into an annuity, like good God, you know, like misuse, right? Not a fit. My story with my mom is when my stepdad passed away, I sat down for the first time and looked at their finances, because my mom's like, hey, this is a foreign language to me. And did not take me very long to figure out that my stepfather, who passed away, put all of their retirement money into a variable annuity. Like, I'm not here to tell you that variable annuities are good or bad. I'm telling you that 100% of their money in one was not the best idea. So,
yeah, you know, and I think that's a lot of the negative connotations about annuities are really stem from variable annuities.
Yeah.
In that 2008-2009 time period, really just because they were, you know, sold as products, you know, features and benefits.
But yeah, it's got the mutual funds in there, yeah. And we're going to do this, and it's got a death benefit, and it's got all these bells and whistles.
Right. Well,
those bells and whistles are expensive.
Yes.
The internal fee of a variable annuity is north of 2%.
Yep. So you're always going to underperform the market. And when the market goes down, like it did in 2008, 2009, you essentially get zero protection, yeah, whatsoever.
Right.
So yeah, understanding what type of annuity that you're looking at is really the first step in the battle.
Yeah.
Because like Tony said, there's, you know, we're not even talking products. You know, you got variable annuities, you got fixed annuities, you got indexed annuities,
SPIAs,
yeah,
like all kinds of ways. And there's another, you know, like variable annuities and, you know, the annuities that your grandparents may have gotten into, where they start the income, they pass away a year later, and all the money's gone.
Yep.
Like that's an old school annuities. They typically don't work like that unless you design it that way. There's a lot of things you can do with them today that won't do that. There would be a death benefit that goes to the family. Joint income, right? Like there's ways to design them as long as you are working with somebody that, you know, has your best interest and knows what they're doing.
Yep. So, you know, I think kind of moving down the list here, bad actors, you mentioned it already. If you're out there shopping for, you know, if you're just out there looking for general financial advice, you know, like a lot of people that show up to different, you know, presentations or, you know, dinner seminars or whatever the case may be, you know, if you're being, you know, kind of, you know, pushed a product as kind of like the opening, you know, opening volley, if you will, like, oh, okay, well, I've heard about your situation for 10 minutes. And I think this annuity is right for you.
Right.
You know, I think that is, everyone's kind of chuckling here, but I think that's kind of how it happens. And that's why, you know, when people walk in the door, you know, every third person seems to have just, you know, a random annuity,
yeah,
you know, attached to their situation.
That's very true. It does have a random annuity out there. Like, how did this happen? I don't know.
Yep.
It's not, you're right. So the one thing I will say is that, actually, you know, being in this industry and seeing different, you know, starting from 2008 to today, actually annuities are the best I've actually seen. This is a sweet spot for them because we've had a historic rise in interest rates,
mm-hmm,
and annuities are designed around interest rates. And I would say over the last year and a half with the historic rise of interest rates, this has actually been the best annuities that I have seen in 10, 15 years, literally.
Yep.
Because the caps are high, the income, you know, so there, I look at it this way. There's two types of annuities you can get. One's for an accumulation, so it grows. Or there's ones designed for income where your money doesn't grow, but your income grows like Social Security. It's designing a personal pension,
yep,
right? The rates have been the best I've seen in years, and the caps are the highest, income is the highest because of rising interest rates. So I mentioned that already. The way I would say this is that we, you know, as Strategic Wealth Partners, like what we do is we start with the plan because the plan will help us determine, A, does an annuity fit your situation? B, what is the appropriate type? Do you already have a pension and Social Security? Do you need another income stream? No, probably not. You know, that's, I'll make that assumption.
Mm-hmm.
So does an accumulation annuity as a bond alternative makes sense? So determining the type and the type is the appropriate type is very important. And then the sizing, the plan will help us understand the appropriate size of, is it 5%, 10, 15, 20% of your liquid net worth go into something like this. I start getting internally upset when I start seeing those, you know, like some type of fixed annuity reaching that 50% plus,
yep,
you know, it just, it's normally not appropriate because, you know, like these do not react like stocks. They react more like bonds, and we're looking at, you know, mid single digit returns at the most.
Right.
You know, they're there for safety. Right. They're there if the market does go down and your stocks do go down. This is something you tap into because it didn't lose money.
Yep.
Right. So That's kind of my two cents on it, on it, Derek.
Yeah, you know, last thing I'll say on that last point, understanding why, you know, an annuity or any type of investment is helping your situation, you know, it should be, you know, one of your top goals to figure out why. You know, I feel like a lot of those people, you know, it's not just annuities that we see as random investments. You know, we see all kinds of, you know, whether it's like, you know, real estate, you know, yeah. We see a lot of REITs, you know, a lot of illiquid, investments, right? Every investment should have a purpose in your overall portfolio. So when we're using the planning software, we are actually using that to determine, you know, one, can this product help? And if so, why? You know, how is that helping the Monte Carlo? And how is that helping really the income strategy? You know, I think that's an important part that people overlook quite often is, you know, when the income gets turned off, where am I pulling, you know, my money from? Where are my paychecks coming from? And understanding, you know, the right order in which to pull money out of your various investment accounts, you know, all of that stuff goes into your income picture. So, you know, an annuity often fits as part of that, but you want to make sure you understand your overall income strategy for your retirement. Exactly. It's very, very important.
Yeah. I mean, because one of the drawbacks on an annuity is, you know, like you typically have to, there's a duration risk,
right?
You know, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years that you have to have the annuity money inside the annuity. So that's why I always say that the sizing, the amount of money you put into it is very important.
Yep.
Because every annuity, or at least every annuity that I know of, has a 10% withdrawal pattern, you know, like that you can take out annually.
Right.
And yeah, like that is, you know, you don't want to take out more than 3-5% of your money mm-hmm. from your investments.
Right.
But if this is a small sliver, we might be able to, you know, take a portion if counts are down, things like that. So we need to just understand again why we're in it, what are we doing with it, and does it fit your plan? So, all right,
good stuff.
Yep. All right. So some of the top stories hitting the market right now is we'll do a kind of a hot take on a couple items. So the first, the Fed is talking this week. Last year, Jerome Powell came out and said,
you guys are on a first name basis.
JP, right. I'll call him JP. JP came out and said that we're going to do probably three, to ratchet down interest rates three times in 2024, and the market somehow again heard six, and we have yet to realize one.
Right.
And how do you lower interest rates when jobs are still plentiful, inflation is still hot? Because lowering interest rates would be a form of stimulus. I don't think we need stimulus right now because that would jack up, inflation. And we're already seeing like the last CPI and PPI numbers were coming quote unquote hot, right?
Yep.
They did not go down. They're accelerating again. So I don't expect much of anything this week.
Yep. Big nothing burger.
Yep. Right? Yeah. Nothing burger. Bitcoin, Derek, your favorite topic.
Oh, yeah.
hit all-time highs 2 weeks ago, and now we're down 15% since then.
Yeah, I will say I haven't opened up my Coinbase wallet in a long time until about 2 weeks ago, which was nice. You know, I had a little, you know, just Bitcoin and ETH left over. And yeah, ever since then, it's been straight down.
You jinxed it. I got it. Now, as soon as we started talking Bitcoin and blah, 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 the tanks.
Yeah.
I mean, but that could just be profit taking. Mm-hmm. You know, the halving event is happening in April, so where the demand will go down. And then when it's harder to mine these coins, there might just not be any more mining because it's going to get more expensive. So we might be looking at like the locked in supply, right? So we'll see what happens there. Any predictions?
Well, my ETH prediction from 2 years ago is still haunting me, so I'm not going to make any predictions from here.
No crypto.
But, you know, I think, You know, it's a long-term play, I think. You know,
long-term play.
It's like going to be a risk asset. It's going to go through highly volatile periods like you're seeing right now. That's just part of doing business in crypto.
And we've always said it, size it appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Like pretend crypto might go to zero tomorrow. Is that's the amount you should have in your account. Like if you're okay losing 3 to 5%, then that's how much you own. If you want to own two, just be involved to 1-2%, having more than that. I mean, that's just, you have to understand the risks, right? So it's a highly volatile asset class at this point. So Chipotle came out yesterday and said that they're going to do a 50-1 stock split because right now the stock's at like $2,500 or something like that. So now it's going to be $50. And the reason the company would do that is just so that somebody that has $100 can now buy 2 shares of Chipotle. Coming to the table with $2,500 to own one stock might, kind of eliminates the smaller, newer, dabbler investor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Funny part is that Chipotle was up 5% after hours.
So
splitting your stock does not change anything about your stock. I mean, maybe there might be more buying because it is cheaper, but to be up about 5% after hours on an announcement like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's just going to be the reaction that you always get. But, Chipotle is, it's hanging in there. I don't have nearly as many good Chipotle experiences as I used to in the past.
That's sad.
I don't go there nearly as much as I used to.
I can tell you're slimming down.
I've been playing the old man basketball on Monday night. So that's good. Good motivation to
body holding up.
Yeah, not bad. Right. Not bad. Yeah, that's the number one goal is just to not get injured.
I mean, maybe you need to eat Chipotle the day before and carb up.
Yeah, carb load. Yeah,
carb load.
I think their shell alone has like 1,200 calories.
Does it really?
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here.
Something like that.
Oh, my God.
We'll have to fact check me on that one.
The shell's really good, though.
Yeah, that's the best part.
It is the best part. And all the sour cream that goes in there.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Intel, this news just came out today on Wednesday, that they won a $8.5 billion funding from the CHIP Act that the Biden administration put into place in 2022. This is the way I view this is Intel is playing this perfectly, because they were crying about worker shortages and high construction costs. So that's when, the CHIP Act was created. And at the end of the day, I think the CHIP Act is a very important act. I feel like we are not acting fast enough because what it's supposed to do is bring home the design and the fabrication of chips so that we don't have to import them. And that is what Intel does. They actually design the chips and they make them. Where the NVIDIAs and the AMD of the world, they just design the chips. They don't make them, right? They pan it off on maybe Taiwan Semi or an Intel saying, hey, make our chips, right? But I feel like Intel's playing this perfectly. Because, again, like they said, they were crying about worker shortages and high construction costs. We came out with the CHIP Act. And now, today, Intel made a comment earlier saying, hey, we need to push back construction because of, quote unquote, a chip slowdown. the sales are declining or something. And I'm like, I'm so confused. Like, I thought we need chips. The chips are what make the world go around. So I don't know if they're telling the truth. I don't know. It's because they're not an AI, juggernaut like NVIDIA and AMD.
Yep.
But the big thing with Intel, though, seriously, though, is that they design and fabricate. That's why they're building big plants in Columbus, $20 billion plant in Columbus. And I think they have two more like in the desert, New Mexico, Arizona area. But what are your thoughts, Dee?
So, on the surface, it obviously makes sense. You know, the idea is not to, you know, back coming out of the, you know, pandemic, no one could get these chips. You know, none of the manufacturers could get them. You know, it was delaying cars and, you know, everything basically. So the idea of it to have, you know, manufacturing and production capabilities inside of the U.S. in case, you know, something bad happens or, you know, something bad happens with our relationships, that makes sense. But since, you know, the federal government is involved, I'm assuming it's just going to be a giant cluster from start to finish. you know, that's because that's what they have proven to do time and time again. But, you know, it does make sense, right? The labor is going to be a lot more inside the United States than outside of it. That's why all the manufacturing moved overseas. So, you know, subsidizing it to get the security to have that capability in the country, again, definitely makes sense. How it's going to be executed and if it helps the American people, you know, that will be seen over time.
Exactly.
I'll remain optimistic.
I like it. All right. Let's hope that let's hope it's going in the right direction, right? Only hope. All right, man. This is your one. You pointed this out yesterday. Yeah. AI, NVIDIA. What are they doing? What are they coming at us with?
So, you know, if you see in the headlines, there's like I can't come up with his name right now. I'm sorry. The president of NVIDIA, the guy with the leather jacket. But anyway, he came out, you know, they did a whole thing. They have this new chip, basically, that's going to be like 10 to 100 times faster than their current ones. And, you know, they're going to put it inside of AI robots. So, you know, we're just creating the Terminators, essentially, with, you know, without the skin. But this is, you know, we all know the story. The Terminators, the T-2000s, you know, that was the big upgrade, right? They used to look like robots before, and now they can make them look like humans. So right now we're in the robot stage. But, you know, I also saw, I believe it was Elon Musk who said, essentially by the end of 2025, an AI chip is going to be smarter than a human. And by the end of 2029, AI chips will be smarter than all of humans. So,
I mean, this started way back in the day. Remember when they had like the best chess player playing Watson?
Yep.
On, you know, this started years and years and years ago. Like they started making it play chess, right?
Mm-hmm.
And look where we are today. We're making robots that are going to eliminate us.
Yep. That's what it looks like.
why are they doing this? It's just so, I understand that, like, probably to help with, like, the workforce, they can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, maybe 20 hours and 4 hours of charging, who knows?
Yep.
But when they're smarter than us, like, and they start talking to each other, that's a problem.
Well, you know, if they become quote unquote smarter than us, then you would have to think, you know, they could be programmed to do anything. And that's kind of what this article was getting at with the robotics. You know, I've seen clips of those, you know, the Texas Instrument robots that you've been seeing out there. You know, they got one like harvesting crops, you know, and it's right next to there's a video of this robot, you know, cutting, you know, I don't know exactly what it is, but some type of plant, you know, cutting, bundling, and then there's a human next to him, and, you know, he blows by the human and, you know, in the 30 second clip. So,
awesome.
You know, there's, you know, endless possibilities. And it is coming fast.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it during the pandemic. If we don't want to work, you know, if we don't want to go to work because we're cool hanging out at home, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Because companies are going to figure out how to replace a human being with technology that can do it.
Yep.
Longer, faster, you know, more efficient, cheaper, whatever you want to call it. Like, mm-hmm. So we're putting nails in our own coffin.
we're
literally.
It seems to be headed that way. That's for sure.
Yeah. All right, man. So there's our hot takes on the market. All right, take us home, D.
All right. Well, good stuff. Well, enjoyed the planning corner this week, talking a little annuities. But if you guys are liking that, you know, let us know. Hit us up at info@swpconnect.com. show ideas, comments, concerns, always welcome there. And thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.